News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
This is Carol Talent, who is CEO of Property District, and she's going to bring us up to speed on some of the stories that you may not yet have seen. And one of them, which is squarely in your wheelhouse, Carol, is the data on the number of homebuyers approved for funding under the Shared Equity Scheme. This is 10,000 homebuyers who have been approved. On the face of it, that looks like good news.
It does. And look, every new home is welcome. All supports for homebuyers is welcome. However, let's be a little bit transparent with the data. More than 10,000 home buyers actually is just over, 5,329 homes. So actually what this is pointing to is that fewer than 600 single purchasers availed of it.
Now hang on, there's an awful lot of numbers in that. So what you're saying is effectively each home was likely bought by two people, so you cut it in half. Yeah. Where do you get the 600 from?
Because that's what's left when you cut it in half. There's 600 left over, which means there's about 600 homes were bought by individuals. In fact, fewer than 600 homes were bought by single people. And by the way,
but why does that matter whether it's a single person or two people?
Oh, it's a huge problem, because actually supports need to be given so that actually people can buy a home, whether they're in a couple or a partnership or otherwise. You know, we're hearing increasing noise online about people, marry your best friend, buy a home with your best friend. Like, that's a nonsense response.
No, but sorry, Karen, my question is, if 10,000 home buyers, if 5,000 homes, to use your analysis of it, have been supported under the Shared Equity Scheme, is that in and of itself not a good thing? Because it means new people are getting on the property ladder.
It is a good thing, but that's over 4 years. It's not enough.
Does it mean the scheme needs changing?
I would like to see it extended not just to new builds, that actually people who are trying to buy a second-hand home could actually buy that as well. Because what we need is supply of all types and tenures of homes. So actually, the supports, when they were introduced to make them politically palatable, they were positioned as homebuyer supports, but they were very much industry supports. They were to first supply, and that was good. The government should have just been a little more honest and said, no, we need to motivate and incentivize supply. But actually now we just don't have new builds across the country, which means these supports are not available. If they're only for new builds, then they cannot possibly be available in any sort of equitable way across the country, because we don't have new builds. Now, by the way, it does apply to self-builds, but obviously our planning system is a stall there.
Well, while we're on the topic of the systems under pressure, there's a story related to the prison system and plans for electronic tagging. Now, this is because our prisons at this point are bursting at the seams. We don't talk about it much, but we have a massive overcrowding problem throughout our prisons, particularly in women's prisons, but across the country. This is now going to be solved in part, it looks like, by letting the prisoners out.
You know, there's so much more to this story than meets the eye. So yes, we're operating at about 120% capacity, but actually we're dealing with a different profile of prisoner than we've ever had before. And in fact, very recently I was speaking to somebody who is involved in prison design across the UK. And what's really interesting is that for Ireland, the prison cohort, we have a growing prison cohort of people over 60s and over 70s who are first time prisoners. And most of those are stemming from historical sex abuses. But actually, with an ageing population like that comes completely increased care needs, dementia units, facilities. So actually, when we talk about prison systems, there isn't a good understanding about the profile of prisoner that we need to be designing for. So actually, these tags will be a good idea and will save the state a lot of money.
What is it going to consist of? What's the scheme?
The scheme is for ankle tagging, but the difficulty is that
Electronic tag bracelets effectively on your ankle that you're monitored on release.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, bear in mind what I've just said about our growing profile of first time prisoners who are, again, in their 60s, 70s and 80s, by the way. Actually, this is a good solution for them, because this is a reflection of our legal system catching up. So we're prosecuting for historical sexual abuses that took place decades ago.
But will people not read this or listen to this and think, hang on a minute, incarceration is meant to be punitive. Staying at home is not incarceration and is not punitive.
And I fully understand that. And maybe if I was, or my family were affected by this, I would feel differently. And I suppose I'm looking at this from a building constraint, from a capacity, from, a civil liberties perspective as well. And I think we need punitive. Absolutely. I think reform, punitive, these are all very fair very fair objective of our justice system. But actually, we need to understand who it is that we're dealing with. And that just isn't a good understanding at the moment. And our current facilities in no way reflect the type of prisoner that we have today.
Well, the Daily Mail has been writing about this and writing fairly extensively about the nature of the problem that Jim O'Callaghan, the Justice Minister, is aiming to resolve. And some of the numbers are fairly stark. 10% of the jail population sleeping on mattresses on the floor. That's nearly 7,000 prisoners who don't even have a bed, never mind a cell of their own.
Yeah, and I know there'll be many people listening in here today and say, good for them, you know, what more do they deserve? But actually, we need to think about the people who are working within this system. We need to think about the health controls, the hygiene within this system, and the health and safety both for the prison population and indeed for those working within it and their families who visit.
The punishment is removal of your liberty, not living in squalor.
Absolutely.
Now, there's an interesting one under the headline, causing a flap at Dublin Airport. Lost property in Dublin Airport can often be interesting. It may have peaked. This is the reports from the Deputy Director of Communications at DAA, Kevin Cullinan, talking about something they found in the baggage area.
Oh, I love this story. Absolutely. There was two very vigilant officials. Actually, it was reported by the Express bus drivers coming in now, saw that a parrot was on a bin, looking lonely, looking hungry. And
A parrot.
And what I love about this story is that the airport police, the two officers first on the scene, one of them happened to have nuts in his pocket, as you do. It's such an Irish story. I love it. But the bird was clearly hungry, clearly very friendly, came straight and perched on the shoulder of the policeman, airport police. So all you need to catch a parrot is nuts in your pocket, apparently. But actually, my favourite part of the story is that, you know, to they brought it back to the centre within the airport, and they fashioned a birdhouse out of a dog crate and a brush handle, essentially. So it is MacGyver meets Father Ted. I love it.
The weirdest thing is that the owner has yet to be in touch. Somebody has lost a parrot and not spot. How do you lose a parrot at Dublin Airport?
Oh, as a pet owner, I want to think that they're gone on holidays and this parrot literally tried to go after them. I'd love the emotion of that.
Carol, thank you very much. Carol Talent, CEO of Property District. 53106 if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106 on WhatsApp.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.